There we go. Yeah, and when there's good traction, isn't snow just the best to drive on? Okay, all right. Enough pitter-patter. On to serious things. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your love. We sing what we just sang, and then we open your word. Remind us, God, that the word from your word is breathed out by you. And so as we read the Bible together, the same as when we read it by ourselves, we are reading your words. So God, I pray that your word would change us and transform us and draw us to you and help us to know and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I realized when I was standing in the back thinking about what I was going to start out with that if you say this too many weeks in a row, it starts, you know, you lose a bit of credibility. But so last week I'll say something like this to start out with. But the text, our text for today I found it a bit problematic, not because I didn't understand it, but because I understood it. And well, it seems to be a bit of a problematic idea. Okay, see, so look at 1 John 3, look at verse 21. It looks like he's telling us that we should trust what we feel. And so let's read it. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Heart, the center of our emotions, of what we feel. So if we don't feel condemnation, I should have confidence before God, security. And that seems just, I read and I go, ooh, that seems a bit problematic. You know, it doesn't, trusting what I feel, and I know that most of us, most of the time, if we're honest, we do that. We base our life on what we feel. What I feel defines my reality. It's not what you do to me. It's not what you say to me. It's how I felt about it. It's how I heard it, right? And how many good arguments has that caused? It's what I think about life, what I feel about life. That's what really is happening. That's what determines what I do. The way that I act and react is completely, most of the time, determined by my feelings. Should it be? Shouldn't it be? Well, that's, for, you know, probably not, but that's the reality. I feel like I'm in love or I feel like I'm not in love. I don't really want to keep working here. Why? Because I don't feel it. You know, we used to be good friends, but just doesn't feel the same as it did before. I feel like you're not being nice to me. And some of us know that trusting our feelings it can be quite dangerous, right? If you've ever counseled somebody and sat down with somebody going through some deep problems in their life, you've seen it. It's what got them there many times was trusting not what God says in his word or what you know the objective reality is, but is what I felt about things, and now I'm here and I wish I wouldn't be here. If you were raised in a home like I was that had a copy of James Dobson's Emotions, Can You Trust Them, on the bookshelf, and I'll admit I didn't read it, but the title was enough. It was rhetorical. Of course you can't trust them. That's not, if you've read some of the things the Bible says about emotions, go to Jeremiah 17, look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And read it in context, just taking that to say what we feel. We can't trust what we feel. That's not taking it out of context. Or flip over to Matthew. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Trusting in what we feel is dangerous because many times what I feel doesn't align with reality. After I've eaten something or gotten some sleep or just went off by myself and been quiet for a little while and then come back, I feel different. Reality seems to have shifted. It didn't, but I feel like it did. We can't trust what we feel. So why would John tell us here to trust, that we can trust what we feel? Read the text again. Go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 now. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, We have confidence before God. What's he saying? Well, face value, he's saying that we can trust, we can have confidence before God if we don't feel condemnation. I can have confidence before God. God's children, big idea from the text, face value, God's children can trust in the security before God that they feel. If you don't feel condemnation, that should give you confidence before God. When should we trust what we feel? That's a good question, because you know you can't always. So if our heart doesn't get demos, we have confidence before God. Well, he's writing this in the middle of a specific context. So he's saying trust your heart, but in a special circumstance. There's a time when we can trust what we feel. Not always, not in everything that it tells us. Not everything that I feel is real. But in the context, he's told us when we can trust our hearts, and it's not always. First of all, this was written to who? It was written to God's children, to people who had given themselves to Jesus by repenting and being baptized. So in that context, this is written to God's children. And as we saw last week, so he's just told us what to do when we feel condemnation in our hearts, when our hearts would deceive us, when they would make us feel something that isn't true. Look at the two verses before this. Look at verse 19. By this, and he's been talking about our love and our obedience to God. So by this, we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. So there's a heart feeling of condemnation. He instructs those of us who are children of God how we should battle against the condemnation that we feel, how we can come to have confidence in our relationship with God. And he's telling us that our works they show what we are. Our love for others and our obedience to God shows that we are God's children. And from that, that can override feelings of condemnation. Again, not saved by our works. We're saved by the goodness and grace of God, but that produces works. That produces obedience and sacrifice and love. And those works, see the logical chain, those works affirm what we are, and seeing the works, the good works, the love and the obedience in our lives gives us confidence, can and should give us confidence in our salvation. Seeing the absence, so the other way, right? Seeing the absence because of our obedience to God, the absence of unrepentant, persistent sin that we're not battling against can tell us that what we feel is indeed condemnation from the enemy. Then he says, and God is greater than our hearts. When God needs us to feel conviction, he's powerful enough to do that. As we know, he does that. When he needs us to know that we are on a bad path and we need to turn from it, he can do it. And so when he doesn't, well, it's either, isn't it because our hearts are seared? It's 1 Timothy 4:2, right? Our hearts are seared, or he's abandoned us to our rebellion, Romans 1. Or in the context of people who are walking with the Lord, it's because we are walking with him. And so if he tells us that we are his dearly beloved, forgiven children, then that is our reality. And what God says and promises is greater than what we feel when the enemy speaks condemnation to our hearts. So that's how we battle condemnation. It's a battle of our eyes and our mind and our heart. It's seeing who we are in Christ, and it's knowing the love and the forgiveness we've received, and then it's feeling the confidence in our relationship with God. So, verse 21 again. When is he saying that we can trust in the confidence that we feel? When is he saying that we can trust in that? It's when we're in Christ, and it's when our emotions are informed. This is really important. When our emotions are informed by the truth of what God says and who God says that we are in Christ, and when our works confirm that. See, these are the emotions that we can trust are the ones in this context that come from truth, from God. They're not emotions that spring from our deceptive heart. They're things that we feel, yes, but they're emotions that we can trust because they are informed by the gospel and the truth of God. It's what they're informed by what we have in Christ, his call on us and his blood and the cross, his spirit in us and his transformation that he's working in our lives. So verse 21 again, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. See, he told us what to do when we felt condemnation. Now he's telling us what to do when we don't feel condemnation, when we don't feel guilt and conviction, when we are walking with God in that moment, when we feel security because of our relationship with God, saying you can trust in that. You can trust in what you feel. We can trust in that feeling, and that can give you confidence, security, a surety before the Father. When we are in Christ and we feel secure, that gives us confidence before God. It's not by any way saying that everything that we feel is the truth. But what we can believe, what we feel, is what is informed by the truth of God. And when God says what God says informs what we believe and what we feel, we can have security before him, and that is true. So, if there ever was a Sunday where I would get complaint emails about going too fast, having too short of a sermon, this would be it, but don't do that. Let's ask the important question. So what do we do? What's the application from this? If when my heart does not condemn me, I can have confidence before the Father. What does that mean then for you and I? Well, if you're not a Christian, listen, this is an invitation to enter into Christ and to receive that kind of confidence, that kind of heart level, I know it's true, a surety before the Father. And so when John raises this up and says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, if you're God's child and your heart doesn't condemn you, you can have confidence before the Father. Listen, if you're not a Christian, it's like the child who's looking through the window at this incredible toy that they really, really, really want, the most incredible Lego for my boys, probably the big old Death Star one, the big one. They're looking through the window at that. It's an unattainable thing. I wish I could have that. You can only get it if someone gives it to you. Someone has to get. And Christ invites you today to receive this kind of confidence before the Father, this kind of security for all of eternity. But in order to receive it, you have to reach out your hand. You have to give yourself to Jesus, decide to follow him by repenting, being baptized, giving him your entire life, accepting him as Savior and Lord. And when you do, from that moment forward, you will receive eternal confidence before the Father, confidence that you will be able, it's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. You will be able to feel in your heart, my heart doesn't condemn me, confidence before the Father. And in this community, when you say, I want that, tell someone, you can repent, you can be baptized, you become God's child. If you're a Christian, what do we do with this? What's the application? I think this is more of a in the moment application. It's not a run out and check some stuff off the list kind of application. I think what we're supposed to do is we are supposed to rest in and appreciate this kind of confidence that the Father gives us. And I think the reason why this is so important for us, and maybe the reason why it was good to just look at this one verse for 1 week and just rest on this is because our normal state, the way we're normally wired, and this might be a projection of me on everybody. So if this isn't you, just let it go. This is definitely me. Our normal state is to be kind of worried and anxious and never quite at peace and always with some doubts, just in general, in life, with our relationship, just with everything. I don't feel just great. I don't feel confident. And if you're in Christ, and if you're walking in submission to him, This is an invitation for us when God gives that peace to our hearts to rest in that. When you're reading the Bible and you feel a connection with the Father, to let go of the anxiety, let go of the doubts. When you're praying and you know that he hears you, when you feel his presence in the middle of a storm, when you hear his guidance when you're lost and you're not sure, and then you know what you're supposed to say, you know what you're supposed to do. When you sing to God and you feel that peace, when we can, and I think this text is saying we should rest in that peace that we have. And that's what we're invited to do every week when we take communion, is it not? It's to remember the reason we can have that peace and that security before the Father. It's to remember the security that Christ purchased for us in the cross as he paid the price for our rebellion against the Father with this horrible, horrible death. There's nothing that can make us feel in our hearts peace before the Father, confidence in our relationship with him, as much as looking at the cross, remembering this extremely high price that was paid for us, what gives us entrance into God's family, forgiveness for our wickedness. And that's what we're invited to do as we take communion, as we pray and we take the bread and we remember Christ, and we pray again and we take the cup in our hearts. We're invited to remember his body and his blood, to remember the cross, and to thank him for the peace, the confidence, the security before the Father that gives us. God, we thank you. Thank you because you are good. And you show your goodness in so many different ways. The beautiful snow falling down. The fact that we could drive over it safely and come here today. The fact that you give us voices that we can sing to you. And we can feel your presence as we praise you and worship you. We can feel the truth of your statement that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, that we can talk to you and you listen to us. You guide us through your Spirit. We're not abandoned as orphans. You are with us. And in no bigger way do we see your love and your grace for us than as we gaze upon the cross. And we see Jesus and we thank you for him. We thank you for his sacrifice, the incredible pain. And as we are about to take something that represents his body, we think of all the different ways his body was tortured. And then we're going to take something that is supposed to remind us of blood. It's blood that was shed. As you remind us of that, I pray, God, that through your Spirit, you would fill our hearts with the incredible sense of how much you love us. And how secure we are when we are in you. For that we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.